I'm going to nail it right at the start. Okay, it's going to be perfect. Okay.
I feel like you're already
okay.
making that less likely.
Okay. Hey! Woo! It's me, Stuart Wellington of the Flophouse Podcast. You're listening to the Flophouse Mini. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Dan McCoy.
Hello.
And Elliot Kalin.
That's me.
And we have something special planned. We're all out here in California.
Planned is sprung on Elliot.
Exaggerating to the point of untrue. Yeah.
The thing is, we couldn't plan it because that's right. We're here for Elliot's surprise 40th birthday party.
I didn't even know I was turning 40.
Yeah. We tricked you. We have slowly been gaslighting you. By slowly, I mean your entire life. We have been telling you that your birthday is years back.
to find out that I'm actually much younger than I am was really great.
You thought you were turning 47?
Yeah, 47, yeah.
Stuart also decided to surprise Elliot with a treat, making him work at his birthday party, being like, let's bring some microphones. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the thing.
Stuart's always, ABCP, always be content producing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And, I mean, that's the thing. I'm a hustler. I'm into poly work, as I've been telling the guys. The only poly work I believe in is we're going to pay off these late fees for my blockbuster rentals of A Long Game Polly.
This is a joke. Stuart has been workshopping quite a bit over the weekend.
I mean, it is.
By workshopping, I mean repeating.
And that was a more polished version.
More polished version.
And I'm carefully watching your faces to gauge the reaction to see if it's getting better or worse over time.
Well, the first
making
time,
notes.
I pretended like it was causing me to have a stroke. So
Blood started trickling out of one of your nostrils.
So
this is Elliot's birthday. I'm really happy that we flew out to spend this with you. One of the reasons we're podcasting is because I love podcasting with my friend Elliot.
That's
what this weekend's all about.
This is something that that my wife masterminded, not the podcast recording, but we are all together. It was a surprise to me. I knew that I was going somewhere for my 40th birthday. I didn't know I was going to this beautiful location we're in now.
Yeah.
And that my friends were flying in from New York City. That's right. Let me hear it. New York.
Should we describe the locale that we're in right now?
We're in
cyberspace.
And we have special guest Algae Rhythm is here.
We're in a beautiful sort of Airbnb in the mountains.
In Topanga Canyon, so we're actually kind of on the side of a canyon wall.
Yeah, and we're on a deck, partway down a canyon wall with a giant Buddha statue.
looming over us. Followers of Stuart on social media will be familiar with the number of Buddhas at this house.
Man, if you count them all and send in to the Flophouse, care of Dan McCoy, he will send you your prize.
Dan, get a prize.
And everyone is spider rings that I bought in bulk.
And notice that Stuart didn't say there's one winner. Anyone who counts and sends in gets a prize.
That was the problem with
for
that.
All of eternity.
I think that counting the number of Buddhas in that video is a little easy for a contest.
It's Stuart like does most of the counting. Yeah,
it's not like one of those jars filled with pennies, and you're like, how many pennies are in there? If you get it, you get all the pennies.
I'd also like to say that Stuart is sitting in a way that I would say is reminiscent of Time Cop, where his legs are splayed wide open.
But what's he wearing, Dan?
He's wearing a tiny, I guess that's a Speedo.
It's a bathing suit.
It's a high cut.
Positioning of my legs.
By his legs being almost 180 degrees.
A bolt thrower.
Bootleg bolt thrower t-shirt with a minion on it.
With a minion holding a gun and giving a middle finger.
Yeah, because he's the war master. He's a badass.
And also pink sunglasses.
My credit from now on, whenever I'm on a podcast, not this one, is provocateur.
The fact that this morning Stuart was wearing this bolt thrower bootleg shirt and sweatpants and multicolored sweatpants. He said, "I'm going to go take a shower." He came back wearing the same outfit with a cardigan and more chains over it. And he did not change his pants, but he changed it to a clean pair of sunglasses.
I mean, it does give us a nice view of his new beholder tattoo on his upper thigh.
That's me, but that's not what today is about. Today is about Elliot's 40th birthday.
I'm glad that my birthday podcast would be mostly about Stuart's clothing and life choices.
Now, Elliot, we here at the Flophouse do a lot of stuff where we talk about movies.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Not normally today. Today true. We're normally talking about Buddhas and Stewart. But
and Buard.
But we today we're
is that the Buddha Stewart?
Studa. I think Studa is the best.
Studa works too, but then you're talking about Wes Studi, which is amazing. He's great.
Yeah, he's a cherished actor. Now, now that you're turning 40, what have movies taught you about the looming age of 40?
So that's a good question.
Middle age.
And this is going to be a very off-the-cuff answer.
Because you're dying at 80.
Because I did have that conversation with my mother the other day where I said, I'm not young anymore. And she said, no, you're still young. And I said, I am. This is exactly middle-aged. Like, I'll probably die in my 80s. Maybe I'll make it to my 90s. Or with medical technology, I know my son is planning to live in his thousands.
Oh, wow.
He's like, I hope I make it to triple digits and then quadruple digits. And I was like, well, no one has ever done that.
And I'm not sure that the singularity is going to be reached by the time.
I like the chilling element, chilling tone in his voice where he's like, I'm living forever, daddy.
Mm-hmm. Now, once I learn how to absorb life force.
No matter the cost.
Movies have taught me that 40 is, I mean, growing up, 40 was just considered old.
Yeah.
It was just when you were 40, you were old. You were essentially, you might as well be 70 when you're 40. And I found that my life experience is, if anything, the exact opposite that where it's, or that movies will teach you that at 40 is when men are like, oh, what did I do with my life? Like, why am I not in my 20s? I got to change everything and get back to, I've got to erase all the progress I've made in my life and go back to being a dumb kid. And I found I don't want to do that.
That's an overwhelming urge that I think I know Dan and I feel. So it's nice to know that you don't feel that way.
It's very strange.
I remember walking down, when I was living in Germany in my early 20s, I remember walking down the street and passing a head shop, which were plentiful at the time, and seeing in the window.
Yeah, that's where you would get 8 heads, put them in a duffel bag, take them home.
Yeah. And I remember looking in the window, and they had all these novelty T-shirts that you would get somebody for their birthday, and they had different ages on them. And my favorite one was the one that said, "Ich bin 40 Jahre alt und fühle mich cool, man," which meant is I'm 40 years old and I feel cool, man. And I'm like, if I turn 40, kill me.
That is German novelty shirt.
Yes,
like, there's no real joke to it. It's just like an attitude, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the idea that anybody would feel cool is fun, is joke enough.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, hold on. So if you didn't feel that way, how did your midlife crisis manifest itself, Elliot? Because this is an interesting...
I haven't had one yet. I'm waiting for it to kick in, but I find that, I mean, this is not going to be the most interesting answer to a podcast question.
Cars or gambling, do you think? What do you think?
Well, the thing is that, like, I know what people want to hear is confessions of misdeeds or, like, unhappiness. And that's what a lot of podcasting is. But, like, I have been thinking about this a lot in the year leading up to this because it was not a surprise I was turning 40. I did the math. And when I was 39, I was like, wait a minute, what comes next? No. But I think about, I'm pretty much exactly in my life where I would want to be at age 40. And so, like, I love my wife, and I want to be with her forever. I have 2 kids that I love and I don't want more kids than that. And we have a nice house that we live in. I've been able to support my family writing jokes for dogs. Like, so it's, I'm living a number of dreams.
Well, actors playing dogs.
Let's
make it clear that you aren't a facts list for, like, Lassie. you're not
dragging the performers.
No, not at all. They're playing animals.
So what you're saying is that it's only down from here. So you're setting yourself up for a fall.
I mean, that's one way to put it. I mean, I prefer to think
and
that,
then,
like,
the inevitable revenge redemption arc that you're going to have.
Yeah, sure. No, it's more like the...
you took this dog show away from me. Now you have to pay.
But it's going to be like Pig, and I'm just going to make you an amazing meal.
Oh, my God. Oh, if only.
Yeah.
Pig, watch it. Best movie of the year.
I don't know about... Well, yeah, it's really good. I don't know about that. But the... I didn't see that many movies this year. What was I going to say? No, I feel like each decade of my life has been better than the previous one. I did not like being a child. I did not like being my teen. My teens were the worst. I didn't like that at all. And my 20s were fine. And my 30s were better. And now I'm like, I'm excited about my 40s. But what movies would taught me is that once you get to 40, you have to restart, like you're the DC fucking universe and just reboot everything.
No.
Or you're just getting ready to be old, you know?
I mean, I actually think that that's pretty close to true for me as well. But that didn't stop me from having a lot of emotional pain that I then needed to be like, oh, okay, wait, hold on. my problem. I need to figure out these emotions that are inside me and where to put them and what to do to deal with them. That was a thing I wasn't taught for some reason.
Seems
important.
Yeah, but, you were taught how to do a lot about the periodic table, right?
I was taught it, but I forgot it.
Oh, boy, so even that.
Oh, my God, we brought you along for the chemistry, Dan.
No, no.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. I feel like other than, like, having to reconcile 40-year-old Stuart with the 30-year-old Stuart, 20-year-old Stuart, and 10-year-old Stuart, they're all living inside my brain at all times.
Mm-hmm. Like Herman's head, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just as funny. Hopefully it doesn't get canceled soon.
I mean, Herman's head ran for at least 2 seasons, right?
That's great. Oh, no, it's Stuart. Okay. I just spilled coffee on the
hopefully news there's that, no one beneath this deck.
The news that Herman's head ran more than one season was so shocking for Stuart that he spilled his coffee all over.
Everything's ruined.
Are we having
he's like, but how could one woman be on The Simpsons and Herman's head in the same night for more than a season? Yeah. You'd destroy a mortal human.
Yeah. What is this, Jim Carrey in the 90s?
She has to draw those pictures of Lisa?
Yeah. I don't think Dan, I gotta explain how television shows work.
I feel like we're having like we came here and we sat in front of a Buddha and suddenly we're having an emotional encounter group.
Well, this is the other thing you do in movies when you're 40, which is that you do like big chill type stuff. I guess they're in their 30s in the big chill, right? But like that's when you're like,
but that seemed like old as hell when I used to look at the big chill poster that was on my parents' basement wall all the time while I was growing up.
Yeah, I mean, well, they were particular.
I've still never seen it.
I feel like our parents were particularly old, 30. Although, actually, our grandparents' generation, when you were in your 30s, you might as well have been in your 50s. But does feel like that's the thing you do, so you get together with your friends and, like, talk about your life and, like, what's going on and where you've been, you know, what you hope to do. I was early.
Luckily, we do that every 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
So we don't have to do that right now here, guys.
But the earlier in the day, my friend Brock Mahan, who's also here with us, hoped he would be a special guest, but he saw the microphones coming out and immediately booked it for some other place to be, leaving a Brock-shaped cloud of dust. He and I went to college together, and we did briefly talk about which of our college classmates we still keep in touch with, and I was like, this is the kind of thing people in their 40s do. Yeah, they reminisce about who they keep in touch with from college. Because otherwise, most of our talk so far this weekend has been about, like, the same stuff we talk about on the podcast, just, like, movies and dumb stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
We're like, oh, it's really misty out. I guess we're going to talk about The Fog, play Misty for me.
Yeah, we talked about Pepe Le Pew for a while earlier for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Dan was like, I don't think he should be canceled. He's
okay.
He's got a big heart.
This game that we play.
I guess it's a crime to love too much.
We try and get Dan in trouble.
No, we all agree that he's not a good character. Yeah. not just problematic, but just a dumb, bad character.
It was funny. Also, Elliot's brother David, the famous David last name withheld, Kalen, was here.
Here briefly,
I told him earlier what a pleasure it was because I realized, like, I'm the youngest, and I had never had
in your
the,
family.
In my family.
Not on this podcast.
Not this podcast.
Not in the world.
In my family, I'm the youngest brother.
It's not like a children of men.
You know, Dan was the last one born, and so he's famous now, yeah.
And so I never had the pleasure of, like, bullying, like, a younger sibling or a friend of a younger sibling. But with David around, we could all gang up against him rather than the usual, which is you two ganging up against me.
Yeah. I'm glad that was like a fantasy camp for you for a little bit.
Well, it's also because David has a tendency to just, like, throw himself into the conversation, and I'm like, he's going to talk about fucking cinnamon again.
He was talking about how much he loved cinnamon as a spice for a good 10 minutes.
I think that's the kind of personal information he doesn't want us to reveal on this podcast.
Sure. You can watch my fucking hair turn whiter as he kept talking.
But it's also something where it's like, I've known him for 36 years. This was news to me that he was such a big fan of cinnamon. I was like, well, so I'm still learning things about my family members. This is great.
This week on Tights and Fights, Austin Creed, better known as WWE superstar Xavier Woods, unbalancing his many passions.
This dude actually wants these ridiculous things. He wants to wear a crown. He wants to be a G4. He wants to have a yacht rock band. Like, he wants to DJ at a festival one day.
WWE and G4's Austin Creed on Tights and Fights. Find it on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, I'm Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
And we host Still Buffering, a cross-generational guide to the culture that made us.
Every week, we share media that made us who we are. Things like Archie Comics,
Sailor Moon,
and lots of Taylor Swift.
And now that Riley's an adult, it comes with 100% more butts.
And now I am totally comfortable with it. So check out new episodes of Still Buffering every Thursday on MaximumFun.org.
Butts, butts, butts. Join in, Riley. Butts, butts, butts.
Butts, 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 butts.
Let's get back to something about movies so people aren't totally upset by this. What did movies teach you about, growing up and being grown-ups, basically?
Oh, jeez.
I mean, because movies do teach you that growing up is bad. Like, you look at a movie like Hook, and that's just one movie. But the message of that movie is, like, this man shouldn't put any time into his job. He should be a kid who gets into food fights.
I mean,
you know?
I think I'm plagiarizing our mutual friend Matt Bird when I say that I feel like a movie like Highlander taught me that part of growing up is going to wrestling shows by yourself and then going to live in the antique shop that you own and live above.
Yeah. Well, the movie This Is 40 taught me that when I was 40, I would have no real problems, but I would make like a 2+ hour movie about it for some reason.
Yeah, it would be a lot of you just like goofing around. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's true. Movies did teach me. I mean, there's a book out called Never Can Say Goodbye, where I have an essay about this, that movies taught me what life was like as a grown up, and specifically like what it was like to live as a grown up in New York, and that one of the most exciting parts of Ghostbusters for me as a kid was Dana coming home with her groceries in her apartment and just being like, she has her own apartment, and it's there's all these people around her, so she's not lonely, but like she could just close the door and put her groceries away. Like, that's what a grown up does, you know. And I can only buy 2 bags of groceries because I have to be able to carry them.
I remember there was, in my early 20s, there was a brief period of time after my girlfriend broke up with me and moved away. Before
I'm so sorry
I got,
to hear
no,
that.
It's okay. I mean, hey, I'm better off for it, obviously. I was in the apartment by myself before my new roommate moved in. So I had a few days, and it was like the first time I had an entire apartment just for me. And it was like, it was exactly the same thing where I'm like, whoa, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
This is mine. I mean, not mine. It was the landlord's. And
no, but I understand. Yeah, you were renting that space.
Mm-hmm.
But so what? Well, I'm trying to think what else movies taught me about growing up. But there's very few movies that I feel like are about like growing up and being like, yeah, I'm glad I grew up, which is the way I feel. Like, I like being an adult much more than I like being a kid.
I assumed I was
going
to wear suits all the time, and that I would have a lot of opinions about cars and the market and things like that, and I don't.
I'm trying to think. I have a lot of worries, just like in the form of just sort of free floating anxiety. But I'm realizing that like I rarely have like these conceptions of the future. Like I'm just like, I don't know. I float through life in an eternal present.
I mean, but that's pretty nice. I mean, if anyone would agree with you, would agree with that. It's the Buddha right here.
Yeah.
this enormous smiling Buddha that's looking down on us.
Is he smiling? I don't know. I can't
tell.
It's
very cryptic.
He's
the Mona Buddha.
Just to give
Lisa
a little context, I would say maybe like two of us
special guest that rooster,
of us
by the way.
Being a Buddha, sitting on shoulders, being Buddha.
Yeah, get back on
We're
Disney
being
Plus
a
right
Buddha.
Now. Yeah, I wonder how much the rooster gets picked up on the...
Yeah, if you can hear, there's farm animals in the distance.
There's a constant...
That's the Topanga rooster.
Crow.
Yeah.
So, I'd rather that crow than some ghost that came back for revenge.
That's true. I mean, he is really cool looking.
I will say that, yeah, it's true. I will say growing older is made a little easy by the fact that my generation has decided as a group that we will never let go of the things that we liked as children. And so the stuff I liked as a kid still is the dominant pop culture, if anything more so than it used to when I was a kid, the dominant paradigm.
No, that's like, especially with the podcast, with the pandemic. Gee, I'm like equating a wonderful thing and a terrible thing.
This pandemic has been great. This podcast is a chore.
With the pandemic, like even more so than normal, I feel like I've been taking refuge in the most nostalgic, like pop culture. You know, like if I just want to comfort myself, I find myself looking for something from my youth that I maybe haven't caught yet, or something that recaptures the vibe of when I was young.
Sure.
And so much of my time is like spent obsessing over that and then getting disgusted about at myself for living
for still
in the past
being in that. Well, but at this point, the way culture is, and there's a lot of bad about it, and there, you know, I've been reading a lot lately about algorithms and cultural stagnation and nostalgia stagnation.
Not just to better understand the motivations of Al G. Rhythm and Space Jam.
I mean, that's
legacy.
How I got into it. I was like, I want to know more about this guy. Where'd he come from? But it's hard for me to go a day without seeing a picture of Spider-Man, and that's not in my house. That's outside in the world. There's just Spider-Man everywhere. And the fact that I go to work and my coworkers are like, Elliot, can you explain this thing about Dune to us? And I'm like, did I make a wish on a monkey's paw? this is my dream. But at the same time, it's a little bit of a curse. But.
Yeah, it definitely feels like similar to like growing up, there was the feeling like nerds were the stepped on class. And now that is clearly not the case.
Now nerds are the bully class. I mean, nerds as individuals, I'm sure are still stepped on.
But that
nerd culture is now the bully culture that is hitting the rest of the world and saying, why are you hitting yourself? It makes me wonder about, so when my dad, I remember very well when my dad turned 40, and it was like a big event, and it was very, like, it seemed very strange, and he, you know, was very like, oh, I can't believe I'm 40, da-da-da-da, and I would ask him questions about the stuff I'm interested in, and he would not know it. He would tell me all the stuff he was interested in, and I wouldn't understand it. But now, the stuff I'm interested
in— Steely Dan, right?
A lot. Well, I mean, with my dad, it was the Beatles were up top, and then a step below them was Bruce Springsteen and Billy Joel.
Okay.
And then a step below that was Final Countdown by Europe. No other songs by Europe, just Final Countdown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then there was kind of floating cycle of, that he would go through, of Jethro Tull and Queen and Styx. Like, that was, so my dad was never really into Steely Dan, but it was associated things.
Sure,
He was way ahead of the curve on Queen. I remember when Wayne's World came out and everybody was suddenly into Bohemian Rhapsody. I was like, you mean my dad's song that we're always listening to, that my dad's always playing? But I feel like now the things I'm into, many of them are the same as the things my children are into. And so it's, being 40, it doesn't feel as separate and farther from youth, because it's not like they're talking about— They're not yet old enough to be talking about music acts that I've never heard of. So when they're teenagers, then I'll feel really old. But I'll be in my 50s by then. I will be old. Mm-hmm. So.
And, I mean, I guess that was going to be my follow-up is, looking forward 10 years, what do you expect your 50th birthday to look like?
I think it'll go a little something like this. Can you guys see the fantasy in my mind?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yep.
Oh.
Oh. No, I imagine my life will be, I mean, one thing that will be different from my past birthdays is I own my own home now, so I'm not going anywhere. So in 10 years, my setting will be the same. But I think, you know, I'll just have older kids and hopefully I'll have moved higher in my career. But other than that, it'll probably be the same.
Probably podcasting again.
I mean, every year I'm like, we're still doing this podcast.
Yeah.
How long are we going to go with this? And no one's told us to stop. So I could totally
like
see us doing it another 10 years.
The main reason we're still doing it is because nobody has told us to stop doing it. We're like, okay, I guess we're going to meet every 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those.
Please don't tell us to stop doing this, by the way, because I count on the income currently.
Yeah, just tweet at us with the hashtag StopFlop.
I mean, I guess if I wanted to see somebody telling me to stop doing it, I'd just go to like Reddit or some shit.
Oh, there's a lot of that, yeah. I think I haven't listened to old episodes of this podcast in a while. I don't recommend people necessarily going back and doing that. But like one of the things that I always loved about old movies is that because they were old, I could see the performers aging. I didn't have to wait. By the time Timothy Chalamet's an old man, I'll be dead. So I'm not going to see what that's like.
Is he going to look kind of weird the way that Leonardo DiCaprio looks kind of weird? Like,
I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio just looks like a man who's aged and gotten a little rounder. I don't know if he's that weird.
No, but I mean, like, I don't
he
know.
He looks like a man who is his age.
Leonardo DiCaprio, who I like as an actor in many things, but I feel like...
But you like him even more as a celebrity poker player.
I feel like if he had not been a star when he was younger, I don't know if he would have been picked to be a star now.
I don't know that he would be a movie opening star, but if he had not been a beautiful young man that people took to, but he would still be a very well-respected and employed actor, you know.
He's a great actor.
But I feel like he reminds me of, not quite the exact same, but a little bit like Colin Farrell, where it was like the older he gets and the less people are distracted by his looks, the better he gets to, the more interesting things he gets to do as an actor, the better he gets. You know.
Well, but then like you look at somebody like George Clooney, who didn't really become famous until
he was already in his middle age, basically, or almost middle age. Yeah, But he had been acting, you know, on Baby Talk and Facts of Life.
Return
and
of the Killer Tomatoes.
Return of the Killer Tomatoes. And Grizzly, right? Or Paws, yep. He's in that.
Grizzly 2.
Grizzly 2, yeah.
In the TV miniseries of Centennial, I believe he plays a guy carrying a barrel at one point.
Oh, wow. Was that his credit, or is that just your description?
No, I think the credit is man carrying a
barrel. I've lost the thread. Was there a question originally that we got?
Leonardo DiCaprio. I think Stuart was trying to rag on Leonardo DiCaprio,
I'm trying to neg Leo, so he calls me up. He's like, hey, you want to come hang out on my yacht? I'm like, I don't know. This seems creepy.
I'm
still nagging him. That's the thing. It's a long game. Okay.
But I was saying that it's a very long game. One thing that's interesting to me, if I ever go back and listen to it, is that this podcast has been such a document of how our lives have changed since we were in our 20s.
Uh-huh,
and that's
something that, again,
it's more interesting to me as a concept that exists in the world than as something I actually want to go back and experience.
For the future documentaries that are going to be made about
us. For Flopback.
We'll have all this rich audio.
And
the brain of Peter Jackson in a robot body cuts all the footage together. And it's just lots of conversations and things.
And I'll be still complaining that the brain of Peter Jackson in a robot body isn't making homemade zombie movies and only makes big movies.
I mean, but if he started doing a Silmarillion movie, you'd be excited, right?
Yeah, always, because I can't help it.
So, speaking of being in your 40s, my legs are both totally asleep
from sitting crisscross applesauce.
on this thing. Were we going to get people to wish Elliot a happy birthday?
So what we're going to do is we're going to say thank you for listening, everybody. Thank you for the 40 years of following Elliot. Kaylin, it's really important to us.
I don't know if they're following me since I was born. This is something I think I have.
Just roll over and lie on your tummy.
I think I have on video somewhere, but I'm not sure. When I turned 25 and I did a comedy show that was celebrating 25 years of Kaylin, and John Oliver came and delivered a eulogy. I had a thing that was like, let me see what happened in the 25 years I was alive. And I'd cut together a montage of like New Coke and E.T. or whatever. And then it was like Jesse Owens winning at the 36 Olympics. And then it ended with my name and the dates 1981 to 2006. And then John Oliver came up and delivered a eulogy for me, and I was like, but I'm not dead. And he was like, don't make this any harder than it already is. this is what this reminds me of.
So let's wish Elliot a happy birthday, everybody.
Happy birthday.
Dan is entirely Elliot. Lying down on his back now.
Happy birthday. Wait, are they coming down?
Hopefully the mics pick that up. Well, I mean, they're walking over now, slowly. I'll paint a word picture. We're still in this deck.
Now the significant
others of two of the hosts are arriving.
Yeah, just take the microphone from Dan, who is up. Oh, that one's not plugged in.
I mean, you might want to take that mic from Dan so he doesn't choke on
the
it.
The mic from me. This is Audrey. Hello, Audrey.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Elliot. Happy birthday.
Oh, thanks.
Charlene, you want to wish
happy birthday, Elliot. Thank you to you and your wife for inviting us to this beautiful house and letting us spend your 40th birthday with you.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure. I like how this went from a podcast to just like the video that you watch from your wedding.
Hey, Brock, why don't you guess a little?
Hey, happy birthday, Elliot.
Thanks.
I'm honored to be here. It's really nice listening to this mini get taped.
as you tried to relax below us on a different deck?
Yeah.
Did I spill coffee on you?
No, yeah, you hit Buddha.
Oh, no. Poor Buddha.
Yeah. Lounging Buddha's got a puddle of Keurig coffee where his mystical sphere should be.
They do say when you meet the Buddha on the road, pour coffee on him.
Do not do that.
No.
Yeah. But I'm really happy that we can spend this time celebrating.
Oh, thank you.
40 years of Elliot Kaylin.
It's especially special, not to throw shade on any of you guys, especially hear it from Brock, who is, I've known longer than anyone else here. I mean, now that my brother's not with us, because he left.
Why are you looking directly at me while you say that? Because
he's sitting behind me.
I can't do anything about not knowing you sooner, Elliot. I'm sorry.
Yeah, thanks. But Brock is my, I think, third oldest friend that I'm still in touch with.
If you work a little harder, you can get to number two.
Just go after my college roommate, Brian, and he's number two.
I have to take out.
move up the ranks.
All, Elliot, just for research.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, I've known you guys for a long, long time. I've known you guys for, almost 20 years. 16 or so years, yeah. 17 years.
No, I mean, yeah.
And I've known Brock for 20 years or 22 years.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's right. So it's great to be with people that I care so much about and I know so much and I've known for so long and feel so close to. My wife, of course, is somewhere else right now. Or I would include her in that certainly. Yeah. You know. But I haven't known her as long as I've known you guys.
So from us to you, thank you so much for listening. This is a product of Maximum Fun. Don't hold them accountable. Thank you to Alexander Smith for probably putting a little bit of editing juice on this.
But Alex, make sure whenever it's getting too slow or too real, just put a zoom zoom.
Yeah.
Slop a little juice on there.
Yeah. Yes, I think this is... Stuart, is this just so you can write off this trip? I mean, you can do it now officially.
Sign off. Okay, bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.